You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on, Sam? Vikings win 28-24. A stunner so stunning that Sam already had the description for this written as if it were a loss, which is fair. That's a totally fair thing to do. 28-24, this Locked On Vikings postcast is brought to you by Bet Online. So I guess we start this the same way, Sam. What's your headline? What's the biggest thing coming off of this one?
It's a fine line between the wheels off and joyful flight to London. And
yeah,
Kirk Cousins said this in the postgame. He's not happy with where the offense is at. And I think that's the correct approach to take, is that the Vikings got out of this game by the skin of their teeth. They benefited from Campbell's gambles. And then a strange decision to kick the field goal 54 yards late that kind of bails out the Vikings. And in some ways, it felt a lot like the Lions win here last year, where you're happy with the W and you escape with a win. And I think you're still on track with where you need to be this season. And definitely to get to 4-2 at the bye, or 5-1. But there's a lot to fix with this offense defensively too, but they did just enough against a team that couldn't get out of its own way today. Very exciting and encouraging to see a comeback like that, but also you have to take into account the 3.5 quarters that led up to it and acknowledge that there is some stuff to be concerned about as well.
There's, I think, a lot to be concerned about, honestly. And we'll go back and pick up all the pieces and kind of see what can be fixed and what stuff you just have to put up with. But, you know, terrible zone defense, terrible run defense. You know, the offense just could not get off the ground. Justin Jefferson all but blanked. Like, what, he had like two catches in this game? Terrible game for Jefferson. But the other receivers came in clutch. You had one really big catch from Irv Smith. A bunch of really big catches from Adam Thielen. Really big Adam Thielen day. Of course, KJ Osborne at the end. That's what my mind goes to, because my question was always, look, people are going to start capping Justin Jefferson, doubling Justin Jefferson. One player is not going to be your entire offense for a whole year. It just doesn't happen. The other guys get paid too much to let that happen. So what? Who can step up of everybody else? Today, that was Thielen, and at the end, it was KJ Osborne. But I guess that is... that's one headline coming off of this. Another big one for me is Dalvin Cook going to be okay? He's now day to day with a shoulder injury. The shoulder has always been the thing with Dalvin Cook. So are we going to see Madison and Wongu in a committee in London?
Yeah. Regarding Cook, we have seen this movie before with Dalvin. He gets dinged up frequently, and it usually seems a little more serious at the time than it ends up being. And he has proven that he wants to and can play through some pain, but is he going to be as effective? The Vikings have seen in the past that that's not been the case when he tries to play through stuff. And I think this coaching staff needs to be mindful of that. And if this is what it takes to use a little more Kene in this offense, I'd be all for that. Madison, of course, ran hard today. I have my issues with him too. And I think this offense can be successful without having Dalvin, on the field 100% of the time. That being said, this was a pretty efficient Dalvin day until the fumble.
Dalvin's
better
good.
Than five yards to carry, almost 100 yards on the ground. And it's a shame that Kirk couldn't do more with what the ground game gave them, because it wasn't feast or famine. It was a pretty consistent churn of 5-6 yard carries. So losing 100% Dalvin, it's a loss, but it's also a story that unfortunately this Vikings offense has had to deal with almost every year at about this point.
Yeah, I want to go to something from the live chat, which, by the way, after every game, come to YouTube Live and you can come chat with us. Nick Dugan says O-line in general had a good game. Hutch seemed neutralized entirely. There were a lot of blitzes with like free rushers and stuff, and there was a lot of pressure. So I don't know if that was like a person's fault, or if that was schematic, or if that was like a free blitz kind of thing, or the pressure just got there. But Aiden Hutchinson got locked up by tight ends a lot. Whoops, that's not great. And I saw that happen to him in college too. Like, I think he might just not be very good when blocked. He might be a DJ Wonnum.
Yeah, I'm sure you're very excited about that, Luke. I know your feelings on Mr. Hutchinson.
I'm taking my lap.
One sack today of Kirk, and zero turnovers by Kirk. So that is improvement from Philadelphia. And I think, like, on the Minnesota Football Party, we went around the horn and we all predicted the Kirk Cousins facing the Lions in a noon game certified bounce back game. Like, we all expected that. I'm not sure we got it, but at least he took care of the ball. So there is improvement there. And there was clutchness late in the game. Like, I think that you can criticize the first 3.5 quarters and also acknowledge that he erased a couple of 2 or double digit deficits. That is a thing. So the two can be coexistent. The offensive line held its own against a defensive line that is, you know, all right and has a high draft pick. So there are, like, you know, run game, blocking, some pieces to be encouraged by. But is Kurt going to learn to adjust more quickly when his favorite target is being bracketed? You know, that is that's a coaching adjustment and a quarterback adjustment that needs to get made, and they need to come up with solutions sooner than 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I experienced a real bad beat with Kirk Cousins. I took the over on 24.5 completions. He completed 24 passes in this one. And if you want to experience similar suffering, you can do that at betonline.net. BetOnline is your one-stop shop for all things Grambling. You can find prop bets like that. You can just bet on the spread. Lions covered this spread. You can find other games, other sports, all sorts of stuff. Player props, bet even live in the middle of the game. If the Vikings were down 2 scores and you thought they'd come back, you could have bet that. Probably would have made a bunch of money too. So you can find all that stuff at betonline.net, where the game starts. So let's flip this around. Of course, there's a huge question going in. What would happen with Lewis Cine? No Lewis Cine in this game. We were told that there would be some rotation, but there wasn't. It was all Josh Metellus, and Josh Metellus seals it with the pick at the end, almost seals it with an earned interception, and then he picks off a Hail Mary. Ball don't lie, I guess. I don't know. Do you have any immediate thoughts on that? Is this a health thing still? Is this Kevin Seifert kind of had conjecture that, like, maybe he's just not up to speed because he missed some developmental time with that injury? What's going on here?
So Metellus talked after the game, and he alluded to, quote, "We've had a rookie who's still, like, learning his way after an injury." That was his quote.
Gotcha.
It didn't surprise me. Didn't surprise me that Metellus started. I think the writing was on the wall last week when he got on the field in that Eagles game when Harrison Smith went out, and he was with the twos every step of the way during training camp. So I think people assumed that Cine would be next in line, but no one ever said that. That was just speculation on our parts, and maybe overlooking Josh Metellus a little bit after a couple of, you know, really nothing seasons from him. His performance, I thought, was, you know, a little uneven along with the rest of the secondary. Of course, it never looks good when you're the one who's standing 5 yards away from the receiver catching the ball. Crossing routes just killed this secondary all day. At the end of the day, though, Luke, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, it feels like they've gotten bludgeoned, and they do give up only 24 points. So they are bending big time, but not breaking. Entering the game, they were 29th in yards allowed and 6th in points allowed. And I think that trend kind of continued. Like, they gave up a bunch of yards today, but a manageable point total against them, 24 points and only 10 in the second half. So there were clutch moments late in this game. Josh Metellus does come up with the pick. We'll see if he continues to, you know, get the playing time overseen, or maybe Harrison Smith is back next week and it's not even a talking point.
Right, and concussion protocol, it's not all that common for it to last over 2 weeks, but concussions are also, like, notoriously unpredictable, so we kind of have no idea there. I thought the zone pass-offs were just really bad again. It's very clear that this is a man team that doesn't know when to pass things off and when to pick them up. There's one big catch. I believe it was either a major third or fourth down. Eric Kendricks basically gets picked on mesh, even though it's zone coverage, which is supposed to beat that. That's two crossers going right past each other. And Eric Kendricks gets caught in the shuffle, and I think it was Amon-Ra St. Brown wide open. And that kind of stuff just happened over and over and over and over. They're just not that great at it yet. And it sucks because they couldn't man up. They tried a little bit more man coverage in this one, but then again, they got shredded by crossers across the field. So it kind of, everything isn't working. The blitzes weren't really getting home, not a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. And when there was pressure, Goff, to his credit, did a good job of getting outside the pocket, finding something downfield that was kind of inevitably wide open. And there's a lot to fix defensively.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible that Detroit only went 3 of 16 on third down. I mean, that's abysmal.
Because they kept going for it on fourth.
Credit to the
Vikings. They kept treating it like a two down thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was at Jim Harbaugh over there. I still felt like as much as I like the aggressiveness from Campbell, it still felt like he doesn't really have a compass for what he wants to do. He's kind of going by feel every time, and that gets you in trouble because if you don't have rules around how you treat game situations, then you end up being the blackjack player who flip-flops between hitting and staying on 16. And to kick the field goal at the end when all logic said to just go for it and end the game was mind-boggling to me. But it felt, because they converted 4 of 6 on fourth down, it felt like they were much more clutch, I think, than they actually were. I think Goff had a good game, though, and I felt like he was the better quarterback for much of the day.
Right. It's such an interesting game from a fourth down perspective. I'm going to be really keen to listen to Locked On Lions for the next couple of days to hear what Matt Derry has to say about this. Because, like, yeah, going for all of those fourth downs and staying aggressive, and then, like, one chance to basically end it and you don't take it, that's really interesting. And I sort of get it. Like, going into that, I was like, if I were in charge, I don't know how confident I would be about going for this just because, hey, kick the field goal, go up a touchdown. You know, don't give them the ball at midfield. But then, yeah, you miss the field goal and you give them the ball at midfield anyways. And it kind of then comes down to how confident were you in your kicker, who's already missed one from 54. Greg Joseph missed a couple from 56. Nobody seems too mad about it. I think that's fair. 56 is hard. But made all his extra points, made all of everything else. So I don't think we have a problem with Greg Joseph quite yet on this one. I don't know. What do you think about special teams in general?
I think special teams still comes out of this day looking pretty good. You know, Ryan Wright had 3 other good punts. They did miss some tackles on punt coverage, which is a little bit problem, but not the end of the world. I like where that group is at. And Greg Joseph, I think, has proven through training camp that he's able to make those 50-plus kicks. He proved it last year as well. So a couple misses today, you know, that's probably about a 50% kick in game, so you'd like for him to make one of the two, but and maybe I'm even overestimating that number. That's a tough kick, so I don't think anybody's freaking out.
Yeah, they were like bad too. Like you could tell he was trying to push it. So maybe my reaction to it is like maybe take a couple yards off of what you think his distance is, because that's a little bit hard for him. And sure, he made a whole bunch of great ones in training camp and preseason, so it was reasonable to say based on that he was 56. But maybe just make the adjustment, and that's okay. Obviously, you got to make sure you're doing that without ruining confidence and all that, but I'll leave that to the actual people in the conversation. Any other closing thoughts, Sam? Anything you want to get out that I didn't get to?
I think the Vikings have a little bit of a tight end crisis. Irv Smith with another underwhelming day.
You're not into the munt cake? He was hurtling. He's breaking tackles.
Hey, I love munt cake, and I love saying munt cake, so I'm all about that. And Ellefson did show up a little bit today. I'm not sure they have a clear tight end one right now. I think that's a little bit concerning.
It's a committee, which is weird.
And I wish I saw just a little more creativity from this offense. Like, they're not really using a lot of their pieces. Wongwu's non-existent. Rager is basically non-existent. And they do have sort of this deep running back room that's not getting utilized. They're not doing a ton with motion, at least not as much as I thought. And it's maybe not as different as I thought it would be entering the season. So I think there's still plenty of work to do there just to make this offense a little more unpredictable.
Yeah. The run game's a lot different, and the run game's working, which is really interesting. But what they're doing in the pass is some rollouts, some kind of a few like dropbacks, some all curls, some really Clint Kubiak-y stuff. Yeah, I'm with you that I want to see a little bit more variety. I don't know if that necessarily means bringing in like the tertiary pieces. That I think that just means a little bit more, mix it up with a screen here and there, although they kind of stink at screens, so maybe that's not there. But hey, the tight end screen, they had 2 tight end screens, one to Irv, one to Munt, and both of them went for pretty big gains. So that part of the game works. Like, go to that stuff a little bit more. I would have liked to see more Irv Smith. He did have the one really awesome catch on a corner route, diving ball, But then he couldn't haul in the other one. Good coverage, but you got to catch that. It was a great Kirk Cousins throw, basically the same throw as he made in the Eagles game to Irv Smith. There's a lot of stuff to clean up here, but this is, Zimmer would say this all the time. I think he's right. You love to be fixing problems after a win. That's great. We won the game and now let's go get better anyways. That's always a great spot to be. An ugly win, but you take those. You need ugly wins in the NFL to make it to the postseason. Because they can't all be pretty. Even the look at the Bills. You can't blow everybody out. So for more on all of this, you can find the Locked On Vikings podcast, daily podcast, wherever you find your favorite shows. You can also find the Minnesota Football Party on the Locked On Minnesota Sports podcast feed with me and Sam, Luke Inman, and Arif Hassan. You can find that Mondays and Thursdays alongside Superior Sports Talk and the Ron Johnson Show. And we will see you all throughout the week, all sorts of Minnesota Vikings coverage.